We thank the Lord that He allows us to pray. Keep thinking some about our Sunday school class this morning and the dynamics of grace. And the Lord allows us to pray, but He also hears us when we pray. That's grace. And so thank the Lord. We don't want to ever underestimate the value of prayer, do we? Probably right there with many other things, it's probably one of the greatest of all our blessings and all of our weapons. It's probably one of the greatest. So thank the Lord for prayer this morning. Thank the Lord that God wants us to pray. I'd like to just briefly remind us, last week we had a burden to preach on the scriptures in the Bible that talks about taking heed. And a majority, if not all, those scriptures had references back to ourself, our actions, how we thought, what we do. And it cast a real responsibility on us to recognize that while God's eyes are upon us and over us, He's also requiring you and me to look at ourselves and to take heed to our own life and to that part of us. Well, I'd like to not continue on necessarily with that thought, but maybe it would serve as an introduction to the thought today, which would require us to take heed. I believe John, we read last week, said, look to yourselves. And that word, look to, is the same as some of the Greek words that's translated, take heed. So take heed to yourself and look to yourself. And I find in my spiritual walk with the Lord, that's one of the best things I can do. If I'm very, very observant of myself, and very honest with myself, and if I allow the Word of the Lord to come to me and His Spirit to speak to me, and I take heed and look to myself based on what the Lord has spoken, it proves to be a wonderful blessing. It proves to be a protection. It helps the fullness of joy to be rich in me. So, Lord, help us today to recognize there's a very important person that we have responsibility for, and that's ourselves. God has given gifts. God's given talents. God has given great abilities. And God has given callings. The Lord looks on us and said, occupy till I come. The Lord is expecting you and me to be sowers. He is expecting you and me to be a lighthouse. He's expecting us to be something that has the savor or the salt of Jesus Christ in our life. And I have a responsibility to look at myself and seeing if I'm doing what I can. And that's my thought this morning, is to look at ourselves and say, have you done what you could? Quite a thought, really, when you recognize that the fields are white to harvest. Now, a lot of times, and not wrongly, we think about the fields as lost souls and spreading of the gospel. And certainly, I would not argue that, because the Lord said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into the field. But I think about us that have lives and families and responsibilities, callings and duties, to recognize that opportunity abounds. Things that I and words that I can say, you could say for God, abound. And let's talk a little bit about that this morning. The Lord speaks also about, we'll read this later, a reasonable service. Now, I'm glad the Lord is not an unreasonable God. Can you imagine what it would be like if He was unreasonable? Since He knows our frames, it wouldn't take Him, that it's just but dust. The Lord would not have to think at all to think of something that you and me couldn't do. Yet he requires of us something we can do. So think about that this morning. And the word service, not a labor of pay, but a service rendered unto someone as to God. Then lastly, I'd like for us to wonder today and look at ourselves. Could we do better? Could we improve? I don't believe God ever wants us to get to the place that we say, I've done it all. I don't need to improve. I really don't need to do any better. I've done all I can do, and I've done absolutely my best. Hence, there's nothing really more that I need to dig for. There's no reason to pray about that anymore. I wonder today if God would speak to our hearts. Could we improve as an individual? And as you and me improve, should that be available, the whole improves. I want to read this morning over in Mark, the 14th chapter, and begin at the third verse. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, this is Mark 14 and 3, as he, Jesus, sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. If you can, just a moment, visualize this in a scenario. The lady comes in. She has a container and had some type of seal of some kind on it. And inside this alabaster box or this container was a spikenard or anise, I believe, in one place they call it, or nard, rather. And you and me are probably not altogether familiar with that, but it was costly. It was expensive. And it was something that was valued highly. And she brought this vessel in and opened the seal, broke the seal, and she poured it on the Lord. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Then there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whenever and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also she hath done shall be spoken of her, shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. She hath done what she could. Think about that for a little bit this morning and ask ourselves, have I done what I could? Am I doing that which is my reasonable service? Am I doing those things that I know that within me and through God are possible? This lady, when she came to do what she did, it was an act of worship. It was an act of recognition of the greatness of Christ, the hope that she had in his message and of her willingness to serve him. And she brought something that to her and to those present was very costly. And I think about my life and your life. It's extremely costly. They ask the question, why was this waste made? And I think about sometimes our life, our time here on earth, our opportunities, what a very wasteful time some people are making of that. The Lord expects us to redeem it, to purchase the time allotted to every one of us and do what we can. This lady came and maybe she didn't understand the act of his death that was to come and certainly of his impromptu burial and the time that he would not be able to be anointed for burial as the custom was in those days. And perhaps she didn't understand all of that. Most likely she didn't. But she felt within her an urging. She felt within her a draw to Christ. She felt within her an urgency to offer something that was most precious. You and me have an opportunity. May we be drawn to offer up that most precious of gifts that you and me have to offer, and that's the gift of ourselves. The gift of our life. The gift of our time. The sacrifice of our time. The sacrifice of our talents. The giving of that which we consider so important to us. And say, Lord, take my life. Take my life. Let it be broken upon you, Lord. And may anything good be poured out to your glory. This lady came and offered this gift, and she was criticized. She was misunderstood. She was gainsaid. They even spoke up and said it was a waste. But you know where the blessing was? She was accepted of the Lord. Lord, help you and me today. People will gainsay effort spent for the Lord. The world will gainsay parents who are decided we're going to offer our home up as a godly sacrifice to the Lord. We're not going to allow in and everything in. And just because it has the credentials of the world stamped upon it, by no means are we going to say this is what we're going to allow into our home. We're not going to take the standards of society and make them ours, but we're going to offer up our home, our hearts, and our lives, and our marriage as a very costly thing, the most beautiful thing this side of salvation, and we're going to offer it up to the Lord and the beauty of it be poured out on the very head of the Lord. You know, a lot of times people won't understand us, but that's not important, really. What is important is this lady, her gift was accepted of the Lord. He understood the importance of it, the cost of it. He understood the significance of it, and he was touched by it. This morning, I would have us, everyone, God would have every one of us look at ourselves, take heed to ourselves. And am I honestly from my heart doing what I can? Have I made some boundaries that this is as far as I will go? Have you put up some parameters in your life to say, well, I'll serve the Lord to this extent? I will honor God with my life, my means, my time, my sacrifice, up to the place that I feel it's sufficient, but I won't go beyond that. I don't think it's necessary. That's what they told the Lord, the lady. It's what they said of her to the Lord. Well, why was this waste made? This morning are you and me, Christians, children of God, people who want to go to heaven and certainly want to hear Him say, well done. Lord, help us this morning to take heed to our life. And the Lord said to the lady, she's done what she could. What would be said of me? What would be said of us all? There's another accounting in Mark, the 12th chapter, and begin at the 41st verse. Mark 12 and 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, or maybe opposite of it, in other words, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. History tells us, and we'll present this to you for how you look at the accuracy of it, but many times in that time, people who were somewhat affluent, they made a show, they made an exhibition out of their giving. And it's been said that sometimes they would rattle their purse before they put it in the offering. Or they would hold it up maybe just a little higher than necessary so it would make a little greater amount of noise when it hit. So the Lord looked over there and saw people going in and putting money in the treasury. And many of them that were rich, they were obviously putting in a lot. But he just noticed that. He didn't pronounce a blessing or an amen on that. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. That's not much money, which made a following. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The Lord took special note of a lady who poured and broke and wasted, if you will, the ointment. And he noticed it against the circumstances of what people were thinking. And he said, as long as this story is told, it'll be as a memorial to her. He took notice now of another lady. She didn't put in much, and significantly, it probably wouldn't have paid much of the utility bill that month. It probably wouldn't have really gone very far in feeding the poor. And it probably would not have been really something that would have stood up in the treasurer's ledger that month. But the God of heaven took notice of it. The King Immortal. God forbid that you and me count our little bit nothing. There's a song that says, little is much if God is in it. This lady, in an act of worship and devotion to the Father, went in and placed within the coffers of that temple all she had monetarily. And it was nothing compared to what had seemingly been given by the rich. And yet this lady, the Lord said, he called to his disciples and he said, look here. Let's us never think that our mites, our little bit, our time, our talent, our ability is not a great price in the sight of God. And that he will use it to his glory. He will use it that the word of God may go forth as a light into a dark town, into a dark community. This Lord, this morning, she put in all she had. She cast in of her want. She cast in of her need. Lord, help us this morning to look at ourselves. Are we doing what we can? The others cast in of their abundance. The others cast in from the fact that they had more than enough. Lord, help us to not set the parameters on giving to God what we can afford to give. Have you ever thought about the word sacrifice? I know we all have. What do we know about sacrifice? It's costly. It doesn't come cheap. It came at a very real price. What do we know about sacrifice? A sacrifice has self-denial attached to it. These people, these men who came through and offered of their abundance, they cast in what they could well afford to cast in. What would have been if the Lord had said, I want you to cast in everything you own? Had they established a parameter that said, no, I've given my tenth, I've given my whatever, and I don't have to go any further. I am justified in my sight. I have made a league with this thing, and that's as far as I'm going to go. This morning, the examples of the Bible, doing what we can, people came and offered what seemingly was unreasonable. They offered the costly. They not only offered what they could, they offered what they had. May the Lord help you and me this morning. I think about that and it challenges me. For my gift and your gift of life, our talent, our finances, whatever it is to be, how are we giving? Are we giving of the Lord what we can graciously afford to give? Are we offering to the Lord of our time a certain amount? Are we offering to the Lord from the storehouse of our own finances what we can well afford to give? Or do we see the work of God and the love of God and the call of God and the devotion to God and the worship to God worthy of so much more, and that we want to offer Him who we are in every aspect? To look around and what can I do? What can I give? What is possible for me? To me, that's a great challenge that I want the Lord to help me with. I don't ever stand before people and say, look at me, I've arrived. But I ask God to challenge me. And this lady, she did what she could. And this lady threw in her two mites at all she had. And the Lord took note of that and blessed it. Over in Romans, the 12th chapter, scripture we hear quoted a lot, use it a lot. When you sacrifice something, in one way or another, it calls for the death of it. Could be an animal. It could be our time. Could be our money. To me, it's something like this. It's alive unto me, and it belongs to me. And it has a value to me. I can spend it. I can use it. Whatever. It's mine. And it's alive to me, and it's very much under my control. Now I'm going to take this thing, and I'm going to give it to someone else's control. Now it's no longer mine. It belongs to the one I gave it to. We sing, take my life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I'm challenged in those type of songs. A sacrifice then becomes an object that's dead to me. It's no longer mine. Oh, I may have the use of it in the sense that I administer it according to God, but I don't administer it according to me. And I would to God this morning that every one of us could get a hold of that, that my life is not to be, and your life is not to be administered by us only as God leads us. Our times, our talents, our finances, our whatever we may possess, our responsibilities are to be administered by God because they are a sacrifice to Him. Now the Lord said, had Paul write this in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I thank God He said reasonable. That makes it attainable. God doesn't want you and me to do the unreasonable and then offer it to Him. But God wants us to take our life and those things that are reasonable and return it back to Him. And in so doing, we bring things that are costly to us. We could well be gainsaid as the woman was. The lady who cannot cast in her two mites, I'm sure the treasurer, the whoever kept the books, didn't say, well, Sister so-and-so, she's coming, let's all get ready because it's going to really make a big difference. Wasn't a lot of notoriety about that, but the Lord took notice of it. Lord, help us this morning to recognize that we present ourselves a sacrifice. It's costly. It's going to take you time. It's going to take you effort. It's going to take you love. It's going to take you dedication. It's going to take some money. It's going to take everything you are. But he said, offer that. It's a living sacrifice. God will take that and multiply it. God will take that and use it in areas that you and me and our little limited ideas could never envision God using it that way. God will take our little handful of meal and our little curse of oil, and he'll mix it and he'll feed people with it beyond what you and me could ever think of. Lord, help us to come to the end of our hoarded resources and say, Lord, I really haven't done what I could possibly. I want to give it all to you. See, the lady was content to take the little bit of meal and the little bit of oil, mix it all together, make a cake of bread, eat it, her and her son, and then die. But God wanted her to live. And God wanted that story to go forth for my encouragement and your encouragement and generations following. And he took that was very precious to that lady. Wonder what all went on through her mind. That was a great act of faith, if you think about it. Was it Elisha or Elijah? One of them. Wasn't that a great act of faith on her part? We got enough for me and my son's paltry last meal, and then we're going to die. But he asked for the cake to be made for him first. Wonder what went through this lady's mind. How much do we trust God today? Do we trust him well enough to give him everything we have? The costly things, the hoarded things? Do we trust him enough to say, Lord, this is all I've got, and without it, I will whatever. But Lord, I love you. Here it is. Take my life. I give it to you. Trust, love, devotion, appreciation. Stepping outside of ourselves and saying, I want to look at myself and take heed to myself. Everything I have, every good gift I have comes from the Father above. My hope of eternal life is in the Father above. Everything that I expect to find in life that has merit and virtue to it is from God. And now he is asking me to return back to him. There was a man who had a promised son. And this son was no doubt the light of his life. And I imagine Abraham and Sarah rejoiced many a day thinking about Isaac. As they watched him out running in the field, maybe he had a bow and arrow. Maybe he had a few of his own little goats and sheep that he was nurturing, kind of a pre-4-H club. You know, maybe he could do all these different things. And oh, they probably had some trees somewhere around. He could climb a tree and probably Abraham would look on him and say, the father of many nations. Out of him shall come this great promise. Don't you think Isaac wasn't very, very, very precious? One day the Lord said, Abraham, I want you to give me Isaac as a sacrifice. I wonder what went through Abraham's mind. They went up to the mount, had some fire, and I believe they had some wood, but no sacrifice, it didn't look like. They got up on top of that mount. Wonder what Abraham was thinking. We already knew he was thinking, well, the Lord can bring him back. But I wonder if he saw Isaac, as a man, and children gathered around him, and coming to see grandfather. I wonder if he thought about Isaac and how he had taken him on his knee and hugged him and kissed him and told him stories and watched Isaac's eyes get all bright with excitement. Really, Daddy? I wonder. Don't you imagine he looked on Isaac and said, what if the Lord doesn't bring him back? What will I do? How will I exist? What will I tell Sarah? But he went ahead. We know the story. We know how the Lord spared Isaac. But the Lord said something very important. He said, Abraham, now I know you love me. Now I know you love me. Because the very one most precious thing in this life to you and Sarah, you raised the knife to bring it down into that man's chest to slay him unto me. Now I know, Abraham, you have offered unto me the most precious of gifts. What about me? And what about you? Has there been anything that I look at and I say it's too precious to offer to God? The lady had the alabaster box of spikenard and everybody around said it's too precious. She said, no, no, nothing's too good for my Lord. Ma'am, you better keep that too much. You got to eat next week. No, 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 nothing's too great for my God. He will supply. This little curse of oil and a little cup full of meal, it's all I have, but my God will supply. A living sacrifice, alive, not dead, living to God and glorifying to God. When you think about sacrifice, always remember, it cost. I think about the word burden, and I had some thoughts on it that I'll share with you. What is a burden? Well, it's a weight. It's a responsibility. It's a duty. What do we know about burdens? They're heavy. They can become tiring. They can exact from us what we didn't think we had and draw from us all of our resources. Let's always remember on a sacrifice and a burden. Please don't pick it up only to get tired and let it down. I have found in my life there's times that people will feel a burden to do something without fully counting the cost of it. A burden is exactly what the word says. It's a burden. Not supposed to be easy. Not supposed to be something the flesh says, wow, this is fun. Not that at all. A burden is a very costly thing. A burden is something that can cut into the skin and hurt. So I think about that. A living sacrifice. Sometimes we pick and choose, or we could. May the Lord help us to accept the burden, to accept the gift and the sacrifice as the Lord would ask of us. Burdens and sacrifices. Who will suffer for the Savior? And who will take the little that remains? I want to read over in 1 Peter, scriptures that he wrote. 1 Peter 2 and 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And our sacrifices must have the odor of Jesus and the Spirit and the Word of God. And I thought about, we're lively stones in the great building of God, the church of God, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. And no one person is the body, and no one person is the whole stone. But as the body is made up of, obviously, many members, so is the body of Jesus Christ. And you and me are called to be living, dynamically alive, effective, effectual, working, animated, offering, supporting, lively stones in the kingdom of God. Every joint supplying. Every joint providing that which God has called for and God has given. It could be the meal, it could be the oil, it could be the spikenard, it could be the death of, and it will be the death of something most precious to us. It will cost something that I did not maybe expect God would call for when I gave my all to Him. Living stones. Stones that say, I have a part in this. It's part of my responsibility. I'm the brick that's supposed to be in the lintels, or I'm the brick that's supposed to be over here in the wall, and all around me are a bunch of red bricks, but it, without me being in there, there's a hole, there's a gaping hole that the passerby will notice, and something's gone unfulfilled. I'm a brick in the foundation that's covered with dirt, but I'm essential. It's lively stones. Stones that are working, that have dynamics to it, that has abilities to it, and talents, and work. Interworking with one another, as God would direct by His Spirit. And He said, as that is lively stones, we're to offer up sacrifices in the Spirit of God. Lord, I want to serve You with my life, my time, my talents, all that I am. I think for myself, You forgive me. Truly, I ask God to. I've probably been more guilty of offering of my abundance than I have of my want. I'm glad God's merciful. I can think of things people have done for me and to me that outweigh the little bit I've given and done and said, so much more than I could ever imagine. But it doesn't have to stay that way. I do not have to feel guilty about my service, and neither do you. I do not have to continue to feel ashamed, but I can say, Lord, I want to give everything I can, what I'm able. It starts with my heart. It starts with me, Lord. Over in Acts is a very frightening story, 5th chapter. And I wouldn't say it applied to any of us here verbatim, but yet there's lessons that we can learn from it. I know the saints somewhat. The most wonderful people on this earth. Absolutely. Godly people. Trust my life when I'm sick in their hands. But God, help us to look at ourselves and have I done what I can? Am I doing what I could possibly be doing? Book of Acts, the 5th chapter, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part or part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and a great fear came on them all. Lord, help us this morning to be very careful. I'm not pronouncing death and gloom on us by any means, but let's take heed from this lesson. Am I, as a Christian, sanctified and holy before God, offered up my life, my soul, my time, my talents, everything I am to God? I've offered it up and asked Him in return to bless me with His Holy Spirit, with His perfect love in His gracious goodness. I've asked Him to be my healer and my guide and my strength and my salvation and my great high priest. And I've asked Him to do things for me that I know I could never do for myself. And when I'm in trouble, when I'm in times of need, I have great hope and expectation that here the Lord will be my rescuer and my help and my undergirding and my support. And I've offered to Him my life and everything I am. I've offered to Him my time, my future, my talents. I've offered to Him my attitudes and my ambitions. I've offered to Him my fears and my doubts. And I've offered to Him my little oil and my little bit of meal. And I offer to Him everything I have. Am I guilty of withholding part of that now? None of us want God to withhold from us. That's just natural. I surely don't. Satan came into the world to tell him we got 500. So I guess he just wanted to look good. I don't know why he did it that way. But some way or another, Satan came in and affected him. I think about me and I think about people today, and I wonder, is some way or another Satan beguiling us, talking to me, causing people to pretend or think or believe that they're paying everything when in essence they're saying, I can't. I don't know how. That's not my job. Some way or another withholding from God, not sinfully necessarily, but it comes at a cost to withhold from God. May the Lord help us today. God's given us our life. He said, please give it to me. He's offered us everything that pertains to life, to godliness. That's you and me. Let's be careful that we're not withholding, selfishly holding back. Holding back, and this could be anything. I hesitate naming anything else because I'd leave more unsaid than I would say. Everything. Parents, husbands, wives. If you've given yourself on a sacrifice, on an altar of sacrifice for your marriage, for your children, for your family, has everything been offered up, or are we withholding something because I enjoy it and I don't want to be without it? The Lord looked on Peter and the rest of the disciples there, primarily Peter perhaps, and He said, Peter, yes, Lord. And I don't know what these were, but He said, lovest thou me more than these? I don't think that question has quit being answered today. Lord, help us today. Maturing in Christ is extremely, extremely valuable and important. I'll say to us today that being selfish with our gifts of ourselves is a great killer of spiritual maturity. Because maturity comes by faith. Maturity comes by trust. Maturity comes by experiencing what God can do with our little two mites. Our little two mites. You know what He said about a word that is fitly spoken? It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's beautiful. It ministers in another place grace to the one who hears it. Over in Mark, Matthew 6 and 19. Now it comes back to us, and Jesus points out some thoughts. Look to yourselves, He said. Take heed to yourselves, He said. Ultimately, that's where it has to be. Matthew 6 and 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And he says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want us today, God wants us today, where are my treasures? Where are my treasures? You can find out where your treasures are by what you're giving your time to, what you're giving your attention to. What do you guard the most? And what if called for would be the last thing you'd want to give up? Treasures. Treasures. Wherever that treasure is, you can understand Jesus said, your heart's there. And what did he say about the heart? It's where the issues of life come from. It's where the real man is. It's where the real woman is. We can put on all we want, but out of the heart are the issues, the very essence of who man is. Lord, help us today to take our treasures and say, Lord, they're yours. Now, the good thing about the Lord is he fed the prophet, but he also fed the widow and her son for a long time. The Lord is not going to leave us destitute, but with the acceptance of our sacrifice, he's going to say, well done. He's going to pour us out a blessing from the window of heaven that we won't be able to contain. You can't go out and get that blessing anywhere else. You won't find that pearl anywhere else. But when we find that pearl and say, Lord, I want it, I'll go sell everything I have. And that pearl becomes so alive and so rich and so beautiful where your treasure is. So then another question we come down to is, who is first? Jesus said, lovest thou me more than these? And what is the great commandment? What is the first commandment, the essential one? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's the first one. And the second one is that you care for others as much as you care for yourself. On those two hang all the law. Everything that's written right here is pointing to, do I love God the most? God help us today. Have we done what we could? Is there a place that I could have done more? That I should be doing more? Is there a place that I know God wants me to do better? Is there a sacrifice that I have quite not turned loose of yet? Is there a little Isaac? Is there a little alabaster box that I haven't opened yet? Is there a point of my resources that I have hedged in and say, there for my retirement? They're immune from the call of God. Think about it. He wants it all. But he looks at us. There was a young man, I'd say young man. I believe some scriptures point out he was young. And he said something like this, Lord, this is in Matthew 19, 16th verse. Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? I believe in one place he called him, maybe there, good master. Jesus said to him, well, you know the scriptures. Thou shalt not steal, kill, commit adultery. Master, all these things I've done from my youth up. What lack I yet? Have you ever had a gnawing in your heart? I have. Have you ever had a knowing in your heart that says, it's just not right yet? Something is missing, the ingredient, it could be in relationships with someone, it could be in work, it could be in relations to the Lord, it could be, it's just not right yet. I believe that's where this man was. He was at a place that he had done all he knew to do. But there was something inside that wasn't fulfilled. He said, all these I've done, what do I lack yet? As Christians, God wants us to be fulfilled. And I don't know of a greater fulfillment than being up and about our Father's business. Not on my scale or your scale, but on God's scale, according to what He leads and what He says and how He prompts us. Oh, may we yield ourselves, heart, soul, mind, and body to God, so that I don't have to feel like I've got to do what He says or they. Oh, I am living and listening to the Lord, and oh, there's peace and there's joy and there's contentment, there's rest. I am satisfied. There's no want. There's no hunger. I have found, Lord, the fulfillment of yielding my life, soul, body, all that I am over to You. Take my life, Lord, it's Yours, and bring Your peace. Give me Your peace, and He will do that. What do I lack yet? And Jesus said to this man, one thing. I want you to take everything you own, sell it. Now, you know, I want to interrupt myself. We may think this young man was not very smart. Wonder what you would have done or what I would have done. Because here comes the Lord saying, you want this? Yes, yes. Take everything you own and sell it. I want to tell you something. I don't have any hard feelings towards Thomas when I read about him. I don't begrudge Peter for what he did. And I don't necessarily say this young man, well, I wouldn't have done that. I don't know. But we all face it and sell it and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasures in heaven where moths and rust don't exist. Oh God, help us to find it in You, an everlasting store. How could my soul want for more? Need, ask for more. I found it all in Thee. And the young man, he wasn't expecting that answer. I wonder if sometimes people don't get saved. Lord, give me the cross. I want to bear it. And then when the cross comes, the burden comes, the sacrifice is called for. Well, I didn't expect it to be that. May the Lord help us today. The young man went away because he owned and had much. Lord, help us to look at ourselves today. I'm not satisfied with me. So I don't want you to look at me and say, Brother Stanley sure thinks he's a good one. No, I don't. I don't. I really don't. I am burdened for myself. This is the burden the Lord has given me to speak to you, to be very honest. I don't know of anybody I can fool any quicker than I can fool myself. I don't know of anybody's actions I can justify quicker than I can justify my own. I don't know of anybody I can defend better than I can defend myself, and why I didn't and why I don't. But I don't know that they, and I don't believe for a moment, they'll stand up at the throne of grace. So this morning, are you doing, am I doing what we can? Our reasonable service. When you really just write it out on paper and look at what God is and has done and will do, and then He turns around and says, will you do this? Is that all you're going to ask, Lord? Is that all you're going to ask? Is there something in our hearts today that's gnawing at us? Is there a certain degree of unfulfillment, immaturity? It's just, I like to cook. Sometimes you cook something. I tell you, I'm a taster too, by the way. Just not right. Open up the shelf there, twirl the little lazy Susan. Not even know what you look at, but you start going, ah, Tony Sachery, Cajun seasoning. Ah, black pepper. Lord, help us today. How does it taste? How does it taste? Is it a savor of Christ? Or does it still have the savor of the flesh? That's something we've got to... I'm not accusing any of us, except maybe myself. Lord, help us. That's the answer we got to come to. That's where we've got to come to that. If I want fulfillment, I've got to be willing to look at myself. Today, am I giving out of my abundance? Today, am I withholding a pledge, part of the pledge or the price? Today, am I not willing to sell everything and take on a burden, take on a sacrifice from God? Lord, help us this morning to consider these few thoughts. They're not meant to condemn us. They're meant to challenge us. I look at this congregation today, and I think of potentiality that's out of this world. Did you know every one of us are to be a vessel of honor to God? Every one of us, inside of us, is the potential for God to be honored with our life. I hope He's, oh yes, Lord, please be honored. But is there something yet I could do in my home, in some responsible way, that I am just saying no and got an excuse? Am I withholding the pledge while others suffer? Did you know, if six men got on this altar bench, three on each side, and picked up on it, five could pick it up, four could pick it up, three could pick it up, and two could pick it up. But it works better when six picks up. But if I'm one of those six, and I am mine to, I could get here in the middle. Some of the other brethren, one in the middle and two on each end. And I could, and not have any weight on my fingers at all. And they could carry the load. Lord, help us. Is someone carrying my load today? Is someone carrying my responsibility? Or is what God wanted for me in this life not being fulfilled? Lord, help us to think about these thoughts. You pray for me, because I'm challenged in myself. I look back with regrets, folks. Oh, yes, there's joys and there's happinesses. And there's forgiveness. And I feel good about being a Christian. But I look back too and say, I could have done more. Reasonably more. Not beyond measure more. I could have done more. And it would only have been reasonable. Time for this and time for that. Excuses for not doing this. One writer said, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for each other. And let's just say, Lord, I want to do all I can do. I want to be like the lady that just took the alabaster box and broke it, and you said she did what she could do. I want to be like the lady that had the two mites, and she gave in more than all the rest of them. She did what she could do. That's what the Lord accepted. You pray for me.